Join me in a word of prayer. May the words of my mouth and the meditations of my heart be acceptable to you, O Lord. That is my prayer this morning. And may we all be blessed for having been here. I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Patient endurance. This morning, after becoming aware of the title of this sermon, I'm sure that most of you rushed to your cell phones and called as many people as you could to have them come and hear about this exciting topic. Am I right? Well, on second thought, maybe not. So what do you think of when you hear the words patient endurance? You know, for some reason, I thought of divers holding their breath underwater for an extended period of time. Like the pearl divers of Japan that I read about as a boy, I remember. Holding your breath underwater requires both patience and endurance. So this morning, I want you to guess how long a human being can hold their breath underwater, what the current world record is, with one caveat. That's a big word, caveat, huh, kids? I don't even know what it means, but it sounds good. So, one caveat, that these people could breathe 100% oxygen for 10 minutes before they went under the water. So their lungs were filled with oxygen. So, how long do you think it is? I'll give you four answers and you try to guess with me. Okay. A, can a human being stay underwater for 7 minutes and 54 seconds? B, 19 minutes and 21 seconds? C, 10 minutes and 15 seconds? Or D, 22 minutes and 22 seconds? Now, by a show of hands, how many of you think it's 7 minutes and 54 seconds? Very good. All right, how many of you think it's 19 minutes and 22 seconds? All right. How many of you think it's 10 minutes and 15 seconds? Very good. And how many of you think it's 22 minutes and 22 seconds? Okay. Now, there's a clue. The answer is about as long as my sermon. So which one do you want it to be? The answer is 22 minutes and 22 seconds. In fact, it was done just last year by a German fellow who underwent rigorous endurance testing and just endurance training. It was amazing. That's what I thought of when I thought of patient endurance. But when the Bible encourages the Christian to have patient endurance, what exactly is that referring to? So I looked up the word patience in the dictionary, and it reveals it to be the quality of bearing provocation, annoyance, misfortune, or pain without complaint, loss of temper, irritation, or the like. It is also described as the ability or willingness to suppress restlessness or annoyance when confronted with delay. Basically, a quiet, steady perseverance or diligence until Jesus comes back to earth to take us home. That's what patience is. Wow. Patience certainly is not my best virtue. When I was a lad, hyperactive and impetuous were polite words used to describe me. In fact, I have always hated to wait in lines and find it difficult to not just butt ahead of people, even though they've been waiting in line. So today, if you catch me cutting in line at potluck, you'll know why. So please forgive me in advance. So why am I standing up here talking to you about patience? Well, It is because when the pastor asked me to preach a sermon while he was undergoing surgery, when he asked me to do that, this sermon, when I prayed for guidance from the Lord, this sermon just flooded my mind instantly. Just boom. No thoughts about it, just there. And so I guess you'll have to endure it with me. But I guess the Lord knew that I needed patient endurance more than anyone else in the congregation, so he made me talk about it. When the wise King Solomon in Proverbs 14:29 says, "Whoever is patient has great understanding." And then again in Proverbs 16:32, he said, "Better a patient person than a warrior." These are tough words for me personally. And Paul continues my personal discomfort in the New Testament when he commands in Romans 12:12, "Be joyful in hope, patient in affliction, and faithful in prayer." And Paul goes on to say in Ephesians 4:2, "Be completely humble and patient, bearing with one another in love." And then he puts the frosting on the cake. And he says in 1 Thessalonians 5:14, "Be patient with everyone." Then James, the earthly brother of Christ, had the audacity in his gospel, James 5:7, to say, "Be patient, brothers and sisters, until the coming of the Lord." It's as if the Bible words are attacking my very nature. Now, being an elder in this church has taught me that I need to be patient. Next, John the Beloved adds the word endurance to the challenge by writing in Revelation 1:9, "I, John, your brother and companion in the suffering and the kingdom and patient endurance that are ours together in Christ Jesus." Well, looking up the endurance in the dictionary reveals it to be a noun. Now, I just threw that in there in case there's some English teachers out there. But I really don't remember what a noun is. So, endurance means having the power or strength to continue or last despite pain, hardships, fatigue, stress, or other adverse conditions. Now, I asked my wife, Julie, whose brother loves endurance sports, has since he's a teenager. In fact, he's competed in several Ironman events, even in Hawaii. What came to mind when she listened to the words patient endurance? And without hesitation, she said, "It meant being married to me." So, I guess she should actually be giving this sermon. But since she is fortunately away at Walla Walla, Washington, babysitting our granddaughter, it falls upon my shoulders to deliver this message. These parents this week have gone back east to Boston to watch Julie's 52-year-old brother compete in the Boston Marathon. And he always places very high. It's quite amazing. His age group, he's always in the top 10 in the nation. I don't know how he'll do there. In the world of TV evangelists, patient endurance is not a popular topic. Rather, dynamic, exciting, and smooth-talking preachers tend to preach a positive gospel message full of success stories of those who have had enough faith to be successful here on earth and supposedly in the kingdom to come. Usually, these powerful, emotionally charged sermons are accompanied by loud and upbeat music to excite the senses and dull the critical thinking or the serious study of the Bible. These techniques basically work the congregation into an emotional high and leaves them feeling good about themselves, so much so that they will send money to that evangelistic effort. Now, I have nothing against various styles of musical worship and preaching, and I actually enjoy most religious forms of music. something my wife does not appreciate. So while preparing the sermon this week, while Julie was out of the house, my stereo was finding its full potential, listening to a wide variety of Christian music. I'll just let your mind go wherever it wants. I just like music. But after reading the Word of God and the importance of patient endurance, I feel compelled to look for guidance from Jesus Christ himself. While he was here on earth, from childhood until the age of 30, we find Jesus patiently enduring this earthly life in a model way. First of all, he obeyed his parents willingly and without question around the house, despite having a superior intellect. He also worked quietly and hard in the carpentry shop to provide earthly necessities for his loved ones. He stood for the right, no matter the cost to himself. He endured teasing and threats. He zealously guarded his father's good name and reputation. Then, during his 3 years of ministry, he did not command a large, organized group of believers. But quietly and patiently, he worked the fields in various size groups, sometimes ministering to a single soul, as he did in the case of the Samaritan woman. Most of his sermons were outdoors. Usually, most of the time, he used stories and parables. The people rarely got excited about what he attempted to teach them verbally. Like on the Sermon on the Mount, that's a difficult, difficult sermon to swallow. But rather, they fancied Jesus as a leader that would free them from the bonds of the Roman rule and set up an earthly kingdom of Jewish dominance. They realized that he could provide for an entire army. He could provide food. He could heal their wounds, heal their illnesses. Remember that after the feeding of the 5,000, the crowd was ready to crown him right then and there. But Jesus quickly squelched this uprising and dismissed them all home to prevent any earthly kingdom from forming. Think of how that must have discouraged his disciples, especially Judas. What a waste of talent and opportunity from a worldly viewpoint. In fact, the only time that Jesus allowed his followers to catch a glimpse of his glory was on the Mount of Transfiguration. And he only chose 3 people to be with him: Peter, James, and John. It was there on the Mount that God the Father and the Holy Spirit both declared in the presence of these 3 that they were well pleased with Jesus. And afterwards, instead of allowing the 3 apostles to bask in this spiritual mountaintop emotional experience, he instructed them not to talk about it until after his resurrection. How hard would that have been to swallow? I, for one, certainly understand why many of his followers left his ministry for more exciting prospects. Certainly, I would have been tempted to agree with Judas that Jesus should be forced to do something that would usher in his kingdom. This desire to be a part of an exciting earthly ministry is basically what drove Judas to betray his Lord. So, at the end of the 3 angels' message in Revelation 14, which we as Adventists feel pertains directly to the remnant of God, we are told that the 3 angels' message calls for patient endurance. In the New International Version, in the King James, it says the patience of the saints. So God's people are called to patiently endure. And who are God's people? those who keep the commandments of God and maintain their faith in Jesus Christ. Basically, we as a church are commanded to live as Jesus lived here on earth. How is this possible? How can we obtain patient endurance? First, each and every one of you must repent. And then turn away from your selfish nature, turn away from sin, and plead with the Holy Spirit to fill your life with the fruit of the Spirit. Described in Galatians 5, 22 and 23. The fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, forbearance, also known as long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, temperance, which is also self-control. Then, in a day-in and day-out living, a quiet and diligent and persevering life, we partake in the suffering that Christ endured on this earth. With these experiences, we can bless and comfort our fellow Christians from Sabbath to Sabbath here in church. And I found it amazing in 2 Corinthians, if you have your Bibles, turn with me there, to 2 Corinthians 1, verses 6 through 8. It says, even when we are weighed down with troubles, it is for your comfort and salvation. For when we ourselves are comforted, we will certainly comfort you. Then you can patiently endure the same things we suffer. We are confident that you will share in our sufferings. We are confident that as you share in our sufferings, you will also share in the comfort that God gives us. It's kind of an unusual thing, but God expects us to come to church from week to week, looking to comfort others. Basically, he does not expect you to come to church to be entertained. If that's why you're here, then you are not patiently enduring. Because to patiently endure, it means for each one of you to come to church, spend some time getting to know those around you, even after church, stick around, get to know somebody, find out what their trials in life are. See if you can help them with their trials, and even if you can't help them with their trials, at least comfort them by maybe sharing some trials that you have, so that we can comfort each other and bless each other on the way to the kingdom. That's what church is supposed to be. And I encourage you today, which is a potluck Sabbath, to stick around afterwards and get to know each other. Get to know as best you can those you can. Eventually, you will form friendships if you have not already done so, if you put yourself out there for Christ. And I want you to encourage you to do that. Because part of being part of the saints is to patiently endure the sufferings of Jesus Christ together. So before any of us jump on the bandwagon to change our worship services here, or to try and create a spiritual high and make them more exciting and spirit-filled through music or through the dynamic spoken word, let us remember our call to work among the people of God, suffering as Jesus did, enduring as the people of God, keeping his commandments, and remaining faithful to Jesus Christ. Let us not forget that Jesus' true followers here on earth were not popular. So let us become more like Christ here on earth from day to day, and not depending on a popular or exciting dynamic preacher of the gospel, either in the church or in the world, but rather by patiently enduring sufferings in our daily personal life with Jesus Christ, let us put on the full armor as instructed in Ephesians 6, 10 through 18. You know, mountaintop spiritual experiences are great. Amen? I love to go to camp meetings and see large crowds, and I love to hear beautiful choirs, and I love to hear beautiful Christian music. I love that. I just really find it thrilling. But when Jesus Christ was here on earth with his followers, he rarely went to the spiritual mountaintop. He taught them to day by day patiently endure. And I feel that even though it's great to hear a dynamic speaker and polished musicians, that these exciting experiences cannot be every single Sabbath, or eventually they just become mundane. Only in heaven will it be possible to have a spiritual mountain high every Sabbath when we meet directly with Jesus Christ. Amen? So, brothers and sisters, it is my call to you this morning to stop coming to church for entertainment. Get involved. As your elder, I plead with you, get involved. Don't stand on the sidelines. Don't wait for someone to come up to you and get to know you. Stick around and get to know somebody. Put yourself out there. Talk to them. Tell them your experiences that week. Maybe they'll share theirs. Maybe you can make a friend or two. Maybe not. Maybe this church is the right place for you. Maybe not. Only God knows that. But I do know that if we as a congregation will begin to reach out to others from Sabbath to Sabbath, in Sabbath school and then church, and not rush off to whatever the world has to offer us, and if we get to know each other and then begin to support each other in our Christian walks, our Christian life will be much sweeter, and our church will grow because of that. It does not depend upon some tremendous preacher. It depends upon you and me patiently enduring for Christ. Now, at the end of this sermon, there's a pop quiz to see if you've been paying attention. And I have a question for everybody here. So, you are between the ages of 1 to 10 years old. You are tempted to run to the very front of the potluck line without your parents being with you. What do you need? And I'll give you a hint. It's the title of the sermon. What? Patient endurance. Okay. Question number two. You are between the ages of 10 to 20 years old. You are tempted to cut in front of others in the potluck line. What do you need? I heard some more answers. Good. You are between the ages of 20 to 30 years old. Your car is repeatedly cut off in traffic on your way to work, almost causing you to have an accident and making you late. What do you need? Patient endurance. You are between the ages of 30 to 40 years old. Your children are wearing on your nerves, making you want to yell at them. What do you need? You are between the ages of 40 to 50 years old. You are feeling old, and your spouse of many years seems to be ignoring you, while an attractive younger individual of the opposite gender at your workplace seems to hang on your every word and respects you highly. What do you need? You are between the ages of 50 to 60 years old. Your children turn out to be bad parents, and you have to start basically raising your grandchildren. What do you need? I hope you guys don't fail this quiz. You are between the ages of 60 to 70 years old. Your retirement stash is not growing as fast as you would like. And a chance to embezzle a large sum from your unsuspecting, filthy rich boss who is mean presents itself. What do you need? You are between the ages of 70 to 80 years old. The golden years when you were planning to travel are turning out to be a disappointment due to your poor health and lack of funds. What do you need? You are between the ages, that was really slow there, Gordon, by the way. You are between the ages of 80 to 90 years old. Most of your friends have passed away. Your enthusiasm for life is waning, and you are tempted to just give up. What do you need? Patient endurance. You were over 90 years old, and we have several 90-year-old people here today. You are sitting in church, listening to the preacher of the day drone on and on, while your stomach is growling and the potluck awaits right in the foyer. What do you need? No, you need the minister to sit down and be quiet. Amen? Can I hear an amen? Amen. Our closing text, Romans 15:4. For everything that was written in the past was written to teach us, so that through the endurance taught in the scriptures and the encouragement they provide, we might have hope. May the God who gives endurance and encouragement give you the same attitude of mind toward each other that Christ Jesus had. May the Lord add his blessing to these words this morning.